Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.
Oh, round one is finally done, and it means finally the return of the Monday scrum. And fellow scrummagers today alongside me, Adam Peacock, Aaron Woods. Woodsy, weekend off, mate. Enjoy it?
Yeah, it did, but I'm actually surprised. I thought we were gone. We're back.
We're back.
Back for another year.
Brent Reed from
I thought the same. I thought we were dead and buried.
No, we're good.
Dead and buried.
I thought we were gone.
No. We're
going to see you every Monday.
Popular demand, obviously.
James Graham as well, Jimmy. How are you, mate?
Yeah, great to be back. Still waiting. I think I'm owed about, by default, 5 Chinese feeds.
Oh, yeah.
From Orange.
We should have done it in Vegas.
You know what he said to me? I'll take you for breakfast at Fuel, our local coffee shop.
Yeah.
It was like $20 for breakfast as opposed to Mr. Wong's.
No, that's a complete lie.
It's not a lie.
I'm hungry.
That's why I've been leveraging to get us back together because, yeah, between the two of them, and we just came along for the ride. We'll take everyone in. If this person win or this team win or finish higher than the other.
Well, boys, it's still on the table.
Well, can I
it's
just
on the table.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we get
man
going,
of word, I'll take yours.
I just want to congratulate you, a lead exporter for Australian industry. Some prime Australian beef on show for the American viewers. The first thing that they saw. Well, I don't know if you saw it, guys. You're at the ground. The first thing you see in the coverage is Manly firing themselves up, and there's Aaron Woods coming back from the warm-up. Great team man, 18th man, in nothing but his budgie smugglers, just walking straight in front of the camera. And that's
it.
The first thing the American viewers saw.
can I tell you a quick little story about Woodsy? I actually, the day of the game, I did an engagement with Siebes. I just interviewed him for this from some publicans, and he ended up talking about Woodsy and the things he said about Aaron Woods. He was glowing in his praise of Woodsy. He said the reason I brought him back is because around the dressing room, he said before a game, Woodsy gets those blokes and they'll walk through brick walls for him. So there's a wrap for you, Woodsy.
I appreciate it. Thanks,
it's
mate.
The last one you'll get all year. For Woodsy. Well, actually, it wasn't for me.
Until you get your shine.
It was from Siebes, but mate, the things he said, it was amazing. And I thought,
I've got him. Bluffed.
Is this the same Aaron Woods?
Bluffed.
Right, round one review. It wouldn't be a review about rugby league without touching on the negative first, and that's the fact that Des Haslam and Wayne Bennett are scratching their heads this morning thinking, okay, how can this get better? And they'll be calm because they're so experienced, Jimmy. But, I mean, if you're a Titans or a Dolphins fan, what's your level of concern?
Yeah, so I think if you're a Titans fan, you're looking at that game on the weekend and no doubt you'd be disappointed. But I think knowing Des, as I do, puts in a tremendous amount of structure, especially in his attack. So it's defined roles. It would have been an overhaul of the attack, I believe. And the conductor of that attack would have been Kieran Foran.
Yep.
Now, when they're practicing these new patterns of play and these new set routines and these new structures, Kieran Foran would have been heavily, heavily involved. I'm talking 2 or 3 touches in each set. Now, the Titans had a lot of good ball. And they looked a little bit disjointed. Now, that is because I believe Kieran Foran wasn't there. He was a late withdrawal. And that's not excuses. But when you practice so much of a new system over the offseason, you have your main man in there, that main conductor, which was Kieran Foran. So I think that's the reason as to why the Titans struggled to break down the Dragons' defense. Credit to the Dragons because, you know, after the game, Coach Flanagan spoke about how much attention the Dragons had focused on their defense in the offseason, and that was apparent. They seemed to be working better defensively, but I think the Titans, they were really missing Kieran Foran, which is an area of concern because Kieran Foran, we know he's had trouble with injuries in the past, and I just wonder if Des had his chance again, and maybe we'll see this weekend if Kieran Foran is back or not. I don't think you can have.
Well, they got the bye, I think. So,
they're in for an absolute shellacking. That welcome to the bye round with Des Hasler for those Titans players.
Jesus.
There's no such thing as a week off there. I think we'll see Brimson come closer to the ball. I don't think if Campbell is out and Foran is out, I think you've got to bring Brimson on ball a little bit closer to the action.
Yeah.
I like what Jimmy's. I'd probably put Brimson at fullback, I reckon, especially if Campbell's still out.
Oh, they've said he's centre
he's centre for the year.
For what they've got at the moment.
But sometimes you've got to react to the situation.
Sure.
Yes, if everyone's fit centre. But Woods, you know what it's like. Sometimes, you're not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, but you've got to make those calls and get your best players closer to the action.
I think with the best team, he's centre. But yeah. because they've got Campbell out, another player I'd look to probably try and inject early is Sam Verrills. He came off the bench. I think he's an outstanding hooker. He's probably had a little bit of a poor run up there with his, I think he did his collarbone twice last year. He's a bloke that brings front rolls onto the ball. Like, a big fan of Randall, but he's just one of those fit workers. He's obviously got good leg speed. They push him back to lock at the end. But I reckon the attack for the Gold Coast Titans relies on Kieran Foran. And for him to be a late rule out is a huge loss.
Well, the other bloke they were missing was Dave Fifita. Yeah. And he gives them an X factor, doesn't he? I mean, you get those chances they had with Dave Fifita on the field and Kieran inside him, they'd probably score one or two tries. But in saying that, that performance for me was disturbing. It was
more disturbing than the Dolphins?
Disgusting.
Well, we know Dez, and he doesn't like 28 points.
I reckon they're equal in terms of how disturbing and disgusting they were. Disgusting. It was.
Disgusting. Yeah. Well, there's your head.
It was a terrible, terrible performance. And, you know, you can bring Foz back, but I'm not sure you. Just bringing Kieran back will turn that round. I think they were so bad.
They had a lot of possession, especially going into that half time. That's probably the biggest thing. They didn't do much with the ball.
And it's not as if they're up against Penrith or Power or Melbourne. They're up against the Dragons, who a lot of people think would have thought before the weekend were in contention for the wooden spoon. Yeah. Now, they're probably not going to be, right? They're a better team than that. But the fact they played so poorly at home, first game of the season at home.
Yeah.
Against the Dragons, it's a massive concern.
In saying that, I mean, you go back to, was it Friday night? Yeah.
Yep.
Penrith looked a little clunky. Yeah,
they're always a bit clunky. They lost their first game last year as well. Yeah. I mean, it's Penrith, right? They'll warm to their task.
Yeah.
And Melbourne were defensively outstanding.
The best I've seen Melbourne in a couple of years defend.
Yeah, it is, especially their middles.
Yep.
Like, they looked like a Melbourne team, like the Melbourne we've come to know. That, you know, in terms of their ability to control the tackle, their decision-making on an edge, it was absolutely first class for the Melbourne side.
Yeah, that was a scary thing. You got to chuck in Solomona and Munster back in that Melbourne side.
And as well, like, the attention to detail on Cleary. I think if you look back and watch the World Club Challenge, Penrith's last tackle options seemed a bit out of sync. I don't know. Yeah. We're starting to see this season especially more teams run on last. Because of now that the repeat set is not as valuable as what it once was. So I think teams are chancing their arm. There's some very smart, intelligent players. If you look at how they're loading up the open side, narrow short side, but playing short to an edge back row to try and cheat, sneak a try. They go man on man. But anyway, with the Penrith Panthers, I thought Melbourne did a fantastic job of disrupting Nathan Cleary.
Yeah.
You know, off the back of a long trip, from England, still finding his rhythm. Let's not forget, like, the Panthers don't play a trial. They go straight over to England, play their first game, come, and then they've got this mammoth task of playing Melbourne in round one. Yeah. You know, with all the history of Melbourne in the round one, two decades of winning round one games, I thought they went after Nathan Cleary. And
really there was the line speed on him.
Yeah.
Every time he went to, like, play, there was just two or three bodies every time. Young Chan did such a really good job on him, and he just suffocated.
I'll tell the bloke who I thought was outstanding that game, Josh King.
Yep.
Playing the chase front row.
How good was that chase back on Cleary?
Mate, so good. He's one of those archetypal Melbourne Bellamy players who he just gets the very, very best out of.
Liero was another one that played really well.
And he looked, moved to lock.
It looks to me, well, I think he's better suited there. I think it looks to me that Craig Bellamy's gone away. He's certainly not happy with how last season ended. We were seeing, again, the Melbourne that we're not used to in terms of their ruck control.
Fragile.
Look, they lose the Bromwich brothers, Carfusi, last year. They took a bit of time to get over that. Well, I think he's drawn a line in the sand and said, boys, this is how we do it here in Melbourne. You either buy in or you're out the door.
As you said, I reckon Elise Katoa, it showed that he's been in there for a couple of years now. Last year was a bit raw in that system. It looks like he knows what the Melbourne DNA is, and he's sort of...
Adam's trying to get control back.
Yeah, sorry, buddy.
I think we went off subject.
No, I just want to bring one up about the fact that Penrith had to play away. What? Now, I would have thought that if you win the comp, you get the right to host round one at home. I was watching that on Friday night.
There.
And I thought, geez. And maybe they've manufactured the draw. I don't know. Marietta, you might know for sure, because AFL decided to bring all its games up to the northern states for round one for reasons unbeknown to... reasons known to only them. I don't know why they did that, but to take a big game down to Melbourne round one to get rugby league a bit more pop down there. But, geez, Penrith would have deserved having a round one opener where the defending premiers run out in front of a full stadium out there on a Friday night with everyone eating KFC in the media box ready.
I don't know the answer to that. I wish you'd give me some notice. I would have
no, 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 cool. Well, I just came up with it then. Sorry about that, pal.
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know why it was scheduled that way.
Yeah. But do you think it's right?
Well, I don't have an issue with it. I think they played at home first round last year, didn't they?
Yeah, I reckon they should be able to kick off the season. They should be the first game at home.
You think so?
Yeah, I reckon they should.
Maybe not the first game unless they're playing in Vegas. Hey, Woodsy?
Yeah, sorry. First game in Australia.
Yeah,
on Australian soil. No, I don't know why that's the case. I don't have a great problem with that, Adam.
Yeah. Back to the Dragons, Woodsy. Jimmy brought up a point about how defensive structures or attacking structures for the Titans. What about defensive structures for the Dragons from last year, starting with Griffin and then moving now to Flano? Now, you obviously saw Flano last year at Manly.
Yep.
You were at the Dragons. Did you notice anything materially different?
I think the biggest thing for them is they've all bought into it, you know, they're trusting their processes. And that's something that Flano's real big on. Like, he goes, you can have all these things, but it's not until you as a group buy into it. Mm. So, you know, the bloke left and the bloke right of you, you all know what your role is. And it seems to me like he's got them happy. And he's got them believing in everything, whether it's their defensive processes or attacking processes. Like, all their players are on board. And, you know, we hear this talk about Zach Lomax has got, you know, he's got the shits and all this, but he goes out and runs for 255 metres, one of the, you know, the most metres he's ever had in his whole career. You see Ben Hunt, it's probably one of the best games I've seen Ben Hunt play in a long time. Kyle Flanagan, his son, you know, he got
a
try.
He
was really good. Yeah. It's like they're all complimenting each other. And then I just thought the Dragons pack was really good. And they were without their best player from last year in Blake Laurie.
Yep.
So for me.
And No Luciano.
Well. And then, you know, the other guy that's made a huge improvement, and I can tell that he's loving under Flano, is Moses Suli. He looks so much fitter.
Yeah.
Just little things watching, like he caught a ball in the in goal. And to see him just sprint back to the 20, you know, normally he's just a carefree dude and just goes through the motions. But to see what he wants to do for his team now, just those little efforts.
Reddy, have you got a motivational article that you've written the Dragons off on the wall there down in Wollongong for Flano to refer to?
No.
I've heard Michael Carayannis has one up there.
They weren't my spoon tip, no. To be fair.
Oh, well, what about Flano carrying on after the game? Saying everyone's just bagged
it. Yeah, it's season
mentality.
Your head
in, Flano. It's round one.
It's a powerful, powerful
mind
tool.
I didn't tip them the win. I thought the Titans would get them up there. Flano's obviously worked wonders in a short time, but the real test will be whether they can maintain the rage.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to get up for round one, I think.
And
that idea of, you know, circling the wagons and the world's out to get us, that only lasts so long. At some point, you know, you've got to find another motivation. That's not going to carry all year. So, they'll get Luciano back, Blake Laurie back. They'll be better, but the Titans didn't offer much.
No, you're right there, what you're saying, really, about how much that motivation can carry you. And I think you asked a question before, Adam, about the Dolphins.
Yep.
And I think I look back to last year and the Dolphins and just they rode that wave of emotion. You know, I was there for their first ever NRL game against the Roosters, which was beyond emotional. Like, you could see the scenes at the end of that game, and that carried them into the season. We saw them fade away at the back end of last year. They've recruited really well. The acquisition of Farnworth and Flegler, which are two genuine superstars in their respective positions. But they looked out of sync defensively yesterday. The Cowboys a couple of times. Zach Labutt put on some brilliant plays. But they looked out of sync defensively, and the kicking game just wasn't up to the same standard.
It was funny they didn't have Katoa in there. I thought he did a really good job last year. And Wayne obviously went for Nikarima and Sullivan in the halves. It's a funny one, I thought. And another one, like, just little efforts, I reckon Wayne will be really disappointing, is like Hemiso, great player, phenomenal.
He had a shocker.
But even like that, just that one, just dive on that loose ball. Don't need to tap it. And it went into the Cowboys players and they score straight from it. Just little areas, I reckon. They weren't there yesterday.
He
funny
was
with Wayne.
So off the hammer. Yeah. So off yesterday.
With Wayne, it was interesting. I obviously watched the game, but I was counting the minutes until it popped up on the NRL website the press conference. Oh, yeah. And it was classic Wayne. It was, oh, yeah, we won't get too emotional about it. We'll have a think about it. We'll come back next week. We've got a reference point now. It was all very calm and, you know, he's biting back at a few questions he thought were below the standard required from a journalist. It was mainly all about Tommy Gilbert, the poor bastard,
yeah.
What he's gone through.
Well, he's a huge loss for them, Tommy. He was the
– I mean, well, that's when
they were flying. They were flying with him and after Origin period, they –
But yeah, Wayne and Dez, that's why I asked the question off the top, because two guys, it's not like rookie coaches or that don't know how to deal with this. It's a case of getting it back on track.
Can I get a little bit controversial?
Okay,
this could cause me angst, right?
Here we go. I want these two to bite at you.
Wayne, best coach in the game's history. No question.
What about Craig?
Craig's the best. Wayne's the best. Okay. Seven comps.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But it has been 14 years since he won a premiership, Wayne. 14 years. Mm-hmm. In that time, I looked it up this morning.
Yes.
Dez has won one.
Yeah.
Craig's won three. Robbo's won three. Ivan's won three. Madge has won one. Greeny won one. Flano's won one. 14 years. Look, at some point, as great as you are, right, at some point, maybe the game passes you by. I'm not saying it has.
No way.
I'm just asking the question.
No way. Okay? You are. That's why Reed is a journalist.
I told you I could
you sneak some of those gummies home from Vegas?
Just a question, Jimmy.
Are they legal?
It's a long time.
It is a long time, but you are wrong.
You know
wrong.
What? Brad Arthur's getting hammered. He hasn't won it's 10 years of power. Hasn't won a comp. 14 years.
He hasn't won one yet.
Yeah.
How many did you say Wayne's won?
Well, let's see what else Wayne's achieved in that time. Quote, unquote, worst ever Origin team assembled wins. That's got to carry some weight.
Well, that's because not in club.
In terms of coaching,
you said the game's passed him.
I asked the question: has the game passed him?
I
didn't say it had. I'm asking you guys for your opinion.
So Origin's worth not. Origin's worth nothing.
The pinnacle of our sport's worth nothing.
So Origin's worth nothing. That counts
worth
for zero.
Nothing, Jimmy, but you can't.
So
it doesn't. I don't think it correlates to club coaching.
All right,
Otherwise, Brad Fittler,
you're tight with the Melbourne
after
Storm.
3 years would have been a club coach.
Well, you're tight with the Melbourne Storm. Let's pretend you're running head office there. You know, some coach rocks in with their CV or a player rocks in with their CV and they've got Origin appearances on there. You just go, that doesn't count. It's clubland.
just a question,
How's
Jimmy?
That ditch that you dug for yourself over there?
Also, I think...
What about we do the South?
just,
on the verge.
I'm not saying it's passing
took South
by.
To a grand final. Took the Broncos
Charlie's
to a grand final.
Charlie's going to cut this up and make me look like the devil.
You're
doing it yourself.
It's not hard to make you look like the devil.
You look back at what the Dolphins did last year.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's another coach on the planet that gets the Dolphins to achieve what they did last year. Did they win the competition? No. Did they make the top eight? No.
Were they predicted to win the spoon? Yes, they didn't.
Like, I didn't predict them to win the spoon.
Sorry,
you might have.
No, I didn't. I'd tell you.
He's not allowed.
So do I.
I don't think there's many coaches that could have achieved what they did.
Jimmy?
Under
it was,
the
it's an interesting just a question,
it's
Jimmy.
An interesting it's piece of information just throwing it out and
so,
research.
Sorry, what was the... So, no, it wasn't a question. It was loaded with facts and figures.
Why have you got all 14 coaches in the last...
So, do you think the game has passed Wayne by?
No, I don't know. But I think there's a lot of coaches who right now... are better than him.
When's the last time Ricky Stewart won a comp?
When did Ricky win it with? Four. It was a long time.
Oh, two.
Yeah.
2002. So has the game gone past him?
No. Okay.
Depends where you are. Ricky's very comfortable.
Your own question.
I'm not saying the game has gone past Wayne. I'm asking the question. I was simply asking the question, putting it out there. Is it time?
Well,
he's 72 or something.
He wants to go on again, doesn't he?
Like, he does want to go on again.
It's not he wants to. He will.
Yeah.
Will he? Where's he going to end up, Jimmy?
New team.
That's a great... No, well, the new team's not going to come in until...
2 more years,
27, yeah, 26, so 27.
And he said he'll definitely won't be coaching the Dolphins next year.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think Wayne's in a fortunate position where he just sits back and waits. We've got a 17-team competition. Only eight can play finals. We've got genuinely 12 teams to 13 teams that would be like genuinely serious ambitions of making the eight. You do the math, there's four or five teams there that then that by default don't.
One of them's the Dolphins. You'll take one away.
What if they do make the eight?
Well, I had him in my eight, but after watching him yesterday,
one game, mate,
ain't
relax.
Making the eight.
Do you reckon he would help Benji out? Because I know they've got a real close relationship.
But Benji,
whether it's not as, coach, but just like be like a coaching director.
Well, he can be the coaching director of the Dolphins, though.
He doesn't want to coach.
That job's there for him. He wants to coach.
I think he wants to leave Christian Wolf to let him do what he wants to do. Yeah.
Well, there's going to be jobs available.
Yeah.
Okay.
He could be. You could end up how he started his career in the New South Wales Rugby League when he came down and was co-coach with
Ricky and
with
Wayne.
Yeah.
Ricky and Wayne at Canberra.
No, at Canberra, 1987, he was co-coach, got him to a grand final. So.
With Kevy. Never say never. It's rugby
reunion.
League. I mean, reunion. I would imagine as much as close as Benji is to Wayne, as close as Kevy is to Wayne, I can't imagine they want Wayne looking over their shoulder. I don't know.
It's like your question is Wayne.
You'll end up
anyway, can I just clarify? I'm not saying Wayne. The game's passed Wayne by. I was merely asking
the
question.
Why did you do your background information on
Because it? I thought it'd be good to get the opinion of two experts on, because I'm sure there's people out there who are saying that.
There'll be a minimum of two coaches lose their job. Two teams, absolute minimum.
Okay.
So there's going to be two jobs come up
within
the time frame of the next 6 to 7 months.
Sorry, by the way, we're looking at the cricket score as we sit here right now. We're looking at the cricket. I know you don't care because baseball's shot and cricket doesn't exist anymore. But
4-1, wasn't it?
Yeah, they got absolutely drilled over there. Hey, Jimmy, just one about a round one. Okay, both sides of the sphere. Round one shellacking, round one like those boys going back up to Townsville today. Oh, how good are we? Getting too high, getting too low after round one. We're always told in the media it's only round one. I think it's already been used today on the Monday scrum. What about as a player? How do you deal with it?
Yeah, well, look, if you get a shellacking, how much do you throw the baby out with the bathwater, and how much do you look back at the work that you've done in the off season? Well, just because it didn't work in round one, does that mean it's not going to work moving forward? Are there some, not excuses, but reasons as to why this,
like maybe the 4-1,
the 4-1, and you go, well, maybe we need to change how we play. Maybe we don't. Maybe we were underdone. Maybe we were too confident. Maybe we weren't prepared for the adversity. You know, sometimes you can fall into the trap of the game plan and that's it. And not, well, hang on a minute. We're going to have to really dig deep here. It's not going to go to plan. Like, for example, the Bulldogs.
Mm.
You know, Blake Taft's error on the third set of the game completely threw the game plan out the window and it was all backs to the wall. We've got to be super desperate, which, you know, lopsided possession count. Same thing happened to the Sharks. The Warriors played them back into the game through errors and penalties. So you've got that to take into consideration. So I think, you know, most professionals will switch the attitude. If you get a shellacking in round one, it will be, hey, boys, you know, it won't always be smooth sailing, but we're going to have to maybe tap into those resources about resilience and digging deep, as opposed to let's just focus on the game plan. It's about toughening up and getting back and biting down hard on the mouth guard and doing the little things for one another. On the other side of the fence, you can come away with a great win. Yeah, you're boosted, you're upbeat, you're full of life, but, you know, you switch on pretty quickly. The danger comes to when you start to look to round two. So the Souths and Brisbane situation, for example, this Thursday, where media talk already starts to go around, well, one of these two heavyweight favourites is going to start the season 0-2.
Yeah.
And then how much pressure does that start to put on the group? Mm. And how much does that start to, you play almost, like what you don't want to do is start to play not to lose.
Yeah, got you.
You need to play to win. And there's a big difference.
Woodsy, on that winning factor, so you've gone through it with Manly. Like my father-in-law tells me yesterday, I've backed Manly to win the comp.
So just relax.
Slow down. It's round one. It's
No pressure.
So Woodsy, you've come back. Massive win. Fantastic. And the way it was done, it was done with a bit of flair. And it was done in Vegas. So that's kind of, you know, jacked the price up a bit as well. How's it being dealt with internally in that sense?
Oh, obviously you want to enjoy the first night after the win. But like we said, it's round one, you know, and one of my sayings I always say to the boys, you're not as bad as you think you're going, but you're also not as good as you think you're going.
That's life.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But like, and you don't want to be too reactionary. We've had a couple injuries in that game as well. So, you know, never going to have the same 17. And like, you know, to the Bulldogs' point, I thought they defended well. But they just put themselves under pressure with the errors. So it's not something where you got to go to training and go, oh, we've got to change our whole structure. Maybe we just got to, you know, have more respect for the ball, you know, in better field position. This is what we need to do. It's not like we've got to change this set, that set. I just thought they were poor with their discipline with the ball, and it gave Parramatta too much opportunity. So you look at what you can take out of it, but you don't need to reinvent the wheel after one loss.
Yeah.
You've had the whole preseason. You've, like we said with the Dragons, they've got a lot of processes involved, whether it's attack and defence. You still got to live by it, but you might have to do just a little bit of fine-tuning here or there, or maybe fix up one play. But to me, a lot of the sides that did lose, I just thought their poor handling. Look at Brisbane.
Mm.
They played well, but they just couldn't hold the ball.
Yeah.
The Knights were another one that just had no respect for the football. I think they tried to play around Canberra. Yeah.
Canberra enthused themselves to a win.
Yeah, well, like Canberra played the perfect round one style of game. They completed ridiculously high. I think
Parramatta were the same.
One of the only errors that they made in the first half was Joseph Tarpany, which was right on Newcastle's try line. Yep. Like that's how you play round one.
First five rounds, I reckon, Jimmy. Mm. Yeah.
Didn't Fogarty break some kind of record for, I think if you lined up all his kicks, he would have kicked the ball from Newcastle to Canberra. It was that much. It was incredible. Reedy, what about Parra and Dogs? Fallout out of that one. And Cameron Serrato was kind of, you know, I don't think he was trying to fool anyone, but he did say he was impressed by their last 20 and how they kind of knuckled down. There was an outside little chance when they got one of their tries.
I think the Doggies were what we all thought they would be, right? Their deficiencies, everyone knew what their deficiencies were before round one, and round one just confirmed it. Their middles, they're short in the middle, right? And their halves. You know, the jury's out now again on whether Matt Burton's a 5'8". Hutchison's, look, he's a serviceable footballer, Drew Hutchison, but he's not an elite halfback.
Mm.
And their middles, Cameron Sorella knows that they've got issues with their middles. I mean, they went and signed Tetovano and Saluka Fifita, right? Two journeymen. That's not the answer. So I think...
But are they, though, from reading between, like reading what it is, they're all about attitude, like this fella.
That's great to have
in the dressing room.
It's great to have a great attitude.
Yeah.
If you haven't got the players to
You haven't got the cattle.
It doesn't matter what your attitude's like. It's only going to get you so far. So they can have a great attitude, but whatever they're short in the middle, they're overrun. They were overrun by Campbell Gillard and Junior Paulo.
I'd like to see Crichton go to maybe fullback, just get a bit more ball.
Well, I thought, didn't they buy him to play fullback?
I thought
that was the initial plan.
I thought that was
but that doesn't solve their halves problem.
I know. But then do you move Burton to centre?
And then your halves are Sexton and Hutchison.
Well, did he touch the ball Crichton four times or something like that?
He didn't get enough. But he came up with some big defensive plays, but just...
Well, he's the best defensive.
They're another 12 months away yet. Somehow they've got to find some middles and a half. A good, really elite halfback. They should have gone harder for Mitchell Moses when they had a chance to go after
Mitchell Moses. Was never leaving Parramatta.
Yeah. Well, make him make a tougher decision, Jimmy. They didn't go hard enough
Tigers
for Mitchell Moses.
Tigers blew him out of the market.
Yeah. You've only got finite resources. Like
Gus seems to find plenty of money to sign sorts of utilities.
Finite resources. Mm. Like we're not Manchester City. We can't just, you know.
Arsenal's top of the league, Jimmy.
Yeah.
What are you saying, that they should buy Erling Haaland?
But Jimmy, everyone knew what they were. Cam Sorella knew what they were going into the season.
I agree with you. So, what have we got now? What have we got now? No good look into next year. That's not going to satisfy the fans. Oh, we're bringing this half in, these middles. I think with what the Bulldogs have got now, they need to play a different style of play where it needs to be high completion and it needs to be, you know, kick to corners and look to use the size, not as a disadvantage, but as an advantage and go out and be aggressive and fast-paced. And look to pin teams and out enthuse teams. That's the way you do it. You're never going to have the full complement of players, and you're never going to have elite middles and elite halves and the best fullback and strike out wide and great finishes. It just doesn't work like that. So you've got to work with what we've got. And I think with working with what we've got is a game plan of high completion. Just go out and terrorize people with your infectious energy. That's what it's going to come down
to. What
I
don't get, Jim, is everyone talks about Gus, head of football at the Bulldogs, is some rugby league soothsayer who's got the answer to everything, right? He's gone and overhauled that complete roster. Basically, every player's gone from that club. But still, they've got deficiencies. Man, I'm no guru, but I can tell what's wrong with them. Why hasn't he fixed it?
I can see what they're trying to do with the players that
they
brought in.
They can't get them.
And they have got finite resources, but they've spent those resources, a lot of them, on The wrong players.
I reckon they've gone, Jimmy, Brent and Woodsy, on the fact that they've looked at the second half of last year and some games that I remember clearly, including one against Manly, where it looked like it was touch footy at stages and the effort was just non-apparent. Or it was there for 5 minutes and then it was gone for 15. It was there for five, gone for 15. They've brought in now players that are going to give absolutely everything with what they have, like your Kurt Manns and your et cetera, et cetera. They might not be Origin caliber players, but are they going to set a standard?
But that's
for,
fine if you, like, I understand the, you can do that.
But that's the but building your, block that they
your,
want
in
now.
In your key positions in the spine,
yeah,
you need class.
Yeah, true. Right? Absolutely.
Because you can't win in this comp unless you're class.
Gus
in your
tried, he tried to get Ben Hunt, remember, when he had those conversations when Ben Hunt was
try
off
harder.
The Dragons.
Try harder, Gus. Try harder.
But he also could have a lot of money.
Do more.
He's got money. In Adokar as a winger, he's paid a lot of overs for him. Like, not overs, but overs for other clubs play for wingers.
Yep.
A lot of money in Kikau, Crichton.
Which I've got no issue with. I think they're great footballers. Mm. I'd spend the money on those blokes. But it's no use having those blokes in your team out wide if you've got no one who can.
I just think he's looked at it and gone, I can't get the class, so I'm going to infuse this club with the building block that I need, that I can
some professionals
right
that know
yeah.
have come from some good organisations. That yeah. will hopefully be infectious on the younger players that come through the system.
What? And the whole joint.
And then what? And the new additions.
Are there any halves coming through, Jimmy?
No. They've got a young Bailey Haywood. He goes all right. He's well, more of a nine.
Well, Carl Oluwapu was obviously earmarked for a big future, but he suffered the devastating neck injury. Yeah. So he's one that can play that 5'8 slash ball playing 13.
But my thing about it is the comments after the game is, yeah, we played well for the last 20. The game was gone.
Yeah, the game's gone, but I think if you look at...
The building blocks he wants.
Well, look at...
So you can be a 20-minute side.
No, no,
he's played well for 20 minutes.
You don't get blown away.
But I think if you look at the...
Parramatta Raw, they weren't even that good themselves.
No, but if you look at the first half, total and utter domination possession-wise, when the Bulldogs got an even share of possession, they looked more competitive. And, you know, in years gone by... That after those first 40 minutes, the Bulldogs wave the white flag and give up, and they're looking at spending half of the second half behind their own sticks, and it goes to 30-40. The scoreboard ticks over, but they actually showed some fight. They showed some fight in the first half to repel the Parramatta Eels, and they showed some fight to continue playing for the game in the second half.
But the only thing is, they're only up against 12 men. I mean, Mitch Moses couldn't run.
I was about to say, Mitch is injured.
Well, he can't have been that bad because he didn't come off.
The other thing as well is people haven't tipped Parramatta yet. Like, they're not the side that we've noticed in the last couple of years where they blow you off the park. So yeah,
I think they'll
be
there.
But as you said, boys, it's round one. There's still...
It's round one.
It's round one.
WTF moment of the round. Or it can be anything. It's just a WTF moment, full stop, right now.
Well, speaking of you earlier, you took my WTF moment.
Well, there's
so
a clear one. No.
There is a very clear one.
I've given it
to the...
Yeah, he can go for it. Jimmy,
go for it.
Oh, dear. The penalty try.
What was he thinking?
Like, I was commentating that game, and it looked like it was going to be a 7-tackle set restart. In fact, so much so, we thought that they were just trying to decide whether or not, well, who touched the ball, Cowboys or Dolphins, and whether it was going to be a 7-tackle restart or a dropout restart.
Yeah.
Dan Ginnane starts talking about cricket. Gordy's into him about how many. Well, no, it's Gordon that started it, saying, "Dan, you're everywhere. You know how many invoices for the cricket." We're talking back and forth, and then the referee blows, and then Dan goes, "Oh, there's been a penalty." Thinking there was an obstruction. I was like, "No, penalty try," and we were all shock.
Yeah,
you look. If that's a penalty try,
we're going to have 18 of them.
Well,
per game.
It's just the biggest spanner in the works. You know, we've got some new rules and some new interpretations. Some of the downtowns, I believe, have been quite questionable.
Thank you.
There was one again in that game where I think it was the dummy half. I think Reece Robson had passed and then followed his pass. And like, who can see that? I don't know.
That's 10 centimeters offside.
That's. Well, he passes the ball from dummy half. So how you're not downtown, I'll never know. Anyway, but that penalty try for me, it wasn't a penalty try. Thankfully, it happened. It wasn't a game-defining penalty try, because if it was, I think Wayne would have been blowing up.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. A gasket. Ready? You got one?
I didn't do a lot of research for this segment.
You haven't done any research today, have you?
No. Well...
Well, he has. He's doing all
Wayne,
he's doing all his.
He's got ready mail.
He's trying to knife Wayne.
Oh, wow. He probably thinks it was a penalty try.
Team Seabold, baby.
Oh, wow. You're quick to turn.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the hammer. That kick he did yesterday.
Or the howler.
Oh, what was he doing there? I love the hammer. He's a great player and a great Queenslander. But it's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen on a football field.
It's round one.
I couldn't believe it.
Couldn't believe
it. It was a great try assist.
He kicked it straight into his head.
It was a side. Yeah, no.
He knew straight away. You look at him when he's on the ground. Round one.
If you run that situation 100 times, he couldn't do that again.
Mm. No, it was insane.
It's round one.
Well,
sorry,
I'll thought he had a head knock, but I'm going to talk about one of the head knocks I saw yesterday.
Mm.
Francis Ngannou Anthony Joshua. Yeah, I didn't see that coming.
Fist to the face, that was.
It actually was, because I'm a huge Tyson Fury fan, and he almost knocked out Tyson Fury in his last fight, so I thought he was honestly going to give it to Anthony Joshua. But that right hand.
So Francis Ngannou is the guy who's come through
MMA.
MMA.
Yep.
And he's tried boxing, and he's a big, brutal human being.
He was the heavyweight champion of UFC.
He can throw him.
Oh, yeah.
He's got some power.
And he's got a chin on him, too.
Anthony Joshua made him look like a little lightweight.
Looked like an amateur.
Whew.
Yeah. That was crazy.
Big punch.
How good's the crowd in Saudi? Like, you've got
nothing better.
Jose Mourinho there.
Yeah.
What's he doing there?
He's got some spare time. He got the same thing. Yeah,
everyone's there.
Jose ringside.
Who's who?
Exactly. He caught his mouth guard, I think. I got a couple of WTFs, so I just got one.
You could have shared one.
Well, yeah, with 17-year-old daughter. Dad, do you know how much it would cost to get a wall repaired like after it got flooded?
Uh-oh.
So my heart's gone through my throat, and he goes, oh, no, it's just a question for math. So that quickly became not
What's
a WTF.
What's school?
I don't know.
He's asking that question.
Northern Beaches.
No, she's in the city. Anyway, another one is a little one, is Jack Cogger going on as a dummy half? As after coming on in the grand final and playing a very underrated role to help Nathan Cleary be Nathan Cleary in that last 20 minutes in the grand final, he's a halfback, or he's a half. I think he's wasted it. But my main WTF moment is actually this little rule tweak, and it's WTF moments because I saw it all weekend, is the one defining feature of rugby league is that it's lack of contested possession, I think, because we like up and back and bang, and it's you defend, out of it, and the Americans can't believe it, that there's no stoppages for ad breaks or whatever. So why then bring in a rule that is going to make nothing but contested possession in the game?
Is that balked one with the catches?
No, the dropouts.
Oh, the dropouts,
yeah.
Don't like it.
I'm going to start calling you Anthony Maroon.
Why?
He hates it.
Yeah. Really? I haven't got to the point of hate. I know it's always been allowed, but everyone does it now.
But the thing is, why we do it is because it's a lot easier to defend your try line from 5 metres out, 6 metres out.
You knew you didn't do it. Cronulla against the Warriors.
They were gone.
Yeah.
They were gone, that's why.
Yeah.
I don't like the lack of reward for getting a repeat set, taking the risk of rolling it into the in goal, and then you lose that reward and it becomes a 50-50 jackpot. Get the ball, in my opinion, from the dropout has
Why
to go
not,
20.
Why don't you like that?
Because I don't like contested possession. If I like contested possession that much, I'd watch a round full of rugby union where there's contested possession every carry. I just don't like, if we're going to bring in contested possession, why don't we bring back the old marker striking at the ball?
Oh, scrum. Bring that in.
Proper scrum.
Proper scrum.
That'd be the best for our members.
Why don't you bring it back? Would you do that, by the way, if they brought that rule back, rake at the ball?
100%. Every time I'd try it.
I'd
try it every time.
What was the consequence of doing that if you missed it?
If you missed it, I think.
If you missed it, you get the other team gets 60 bend.
Yeah.
You get the ball back. You could actually physically rake the ball back from when the guy put it on the deck.
There's times when you know you can get it, but hey, Jimmy, you could just hook it up easy.
Yeah.
I just don't like, me dropouts, and hopefully it doesn't become a mess throughout the year.
I get nervous when our team does it because you always want someone backing up. Because when we're dropping out, because if you've got a bloke that's coming up to get the ball and try and knock it back, as you see in the grand final last year against
Mitch Kenny.
I think Mitch Kenny scored the first try. You need cover, and it's a high risk play.
So at any point are we going to see, like lineouts in rugby union, teammates lifting each other up to try and get the ball from these dropouts?
I don't know if you're allowed.
Allowed to.
Not allowed?
You can't touch your own player anymore.
Okay.
Yeah,
so for advantage.
Yeah, I think they've changed that rule.
Okay, at least that's not in the
equation. I like your thinking, Adam. I really enjoy that.
Thanks, James.
But you've seen a few of them go fake right, fake left, middle. The Roosters did it in their game. They shaped to go short left. They turned around Sam Walker. I think it was. He shaped to go short right. and then he just put it right up and Tedesco got it back. That's where the smart players come into their own. I love that variation.
We look to do that, but Croker's too small in the middle.
Look for them to do it.
The worst is when after that when all your catchers go up the front. If you're a front rower all by yourself
and
you've got to catch that. So there's the tactic. Look like you're going to go short, bring the catchers up and then just spot the front rower who's pooing his pants going, please don't kick to me, please don't kick to me, and just go, there you go. Give him a bit of a slight edge so it bobbles and get it caught in the wind and just watch those front rowers.
It also sucks too, but sometimes you go that front line for a little bit of a breather and let the other front rowers do it and then now you're getting stuck in the play.
No, you go back to the halfway.
Let the ball bounce. Let the ball bounce. Use your feet, stop, pick up, and then the defence will just tackle you. So you'll be playing, the attacking set will just start on the halfway line.
As we sit here right now, we don't know exactly the suspension for Spencer Lenu. We're doing this before the judiciary hearing.
Yep.
I did the figures. It's if he serves 7 weeks, his first game back is against the Brisbane Broncos, Spencer, which would be interesting in itself. If it's 6 weeks, he's got the lead in. If it's 8 weeks, he missed the Broncos game. But it's not about that. It's about the overarching fallout from this particular investigation and judiciary hearing. Reedy, what I want to know overall is, yes, okay, the suspension is that, and I don't think there's a person involved in rugby league that wants to see racism in the game. Strange if it was, but Roosters, Broncos, is this setting up a little kind of sparking something that's going to carry on for a couple of years, perhaps a bit of bad blood?
Well, probably, because they'll both be at their clubs. I mean, Spencer's signed a long-term deal at the Roosters. Ezra signed a long-term deal at the Broncos. Paddy Carrigan, Tony Staggs were involved in that bust-up with him in the hotel. Long-term deals as well, so... Yeah, I think it will. I think there's going to be a little bit of bad blood, a little bit of drama between the clubs for the foreseeable future.
Are the admins annoyed at each other for the way that it's been reported and there's rumours of things being leaked to the media about...
Oh, I don't know.
A
little bit. I think there's a little bit of frustration with some of the stuff that's come out, yeah.
I know it was round zero. I wish they had dealt with it last week, but... Because then we wouldn't be talking and carry on about it. I wish they had gave him suspension after the game, whether it was Monday, Tuesday...
It was difficult, Woodsy, because he had to... Obviously, Spencer was in Vegas. They had to fly home.
We'll do it on the Wednesday or Thursday when we get back because we're still talking about it now.
Yeah.
And it's getting so many headlines.
I think they wanted to take some time to speak to lawyers and his agent had to get involved. And
he said he's done it. So.
Yeah. But, you know, if you do it, say you did it Thursday night last week, there's a game on. Right? It's when the games are on.
Yeah, true.
So,
you know, then
it would overshadow all the games, I guess.
Jimmy, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I agree with you, Woodsy, that the sooner the better. But I guess from the NRL point of view, the players landed back Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
They need, I guess the only way they could have, the Roosters would have just argued that we don't have time to prepare for such an extreme case. Yeah. Because the earliest they could have done it was Wednesday. They can't do it Thursday or Friday because of the football.
Game day.
Usually it would be a Tuesday, so they fast-forwarded it a day early on the Monday. Mm. So I guess they're doing their best. But this is obviously, it's not a position the NRL want to be in.
No,
they would have liked it to be dealt with, but obviously you've got to allow due process and enough time to put your case together. It is unfortunate that there's commentary in and around it, but it's not going to go away. Like there's going to be a decision made this evening. There'll be a fallout tomorrow. Too much right or not enough, and then these stories will continue on.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Mm. Unfortunately, we won the cricket, have we, Woodsy?
Not one, but Alex Carey's on 98.
Oh, and we've got two runs to win. Anyway, to divert from such a serious... I don't think we can add too much, can we? I mean, it is literally what it is.
Yeah.
And what will become of Spencer Lenu and his immediate future with the Sydney Roosters and how much he's going to play
is in the hands of the judiciary. Really?
Well, the mail last week was 6 to 8 weeks, and that seems to have gained a bit of traction and gathered some momentum. So, he's obviously pleaded guilty, so you would think he'll get a discount for that. So potentially 6 weeks.
What do you think about the other players coming out and saying he deserves half a year in that?
Well, you're not supposed to do it, right? That's the start, right? I mean,
so can they get in trouble for it?
Well, they could do, theoretically they could do, but the NRL's never really sanctioned anyone for commenting on judicial hearings. I mean, it happens all the time that someone will get charged and players will come out in support of them or defend them. Mm. And the NRL privately behind the scenes got a message to some of those players to stop commenting. They were happy for him them to show support for Ezra. They had no issue with that. Happy for them to come out and support Ezra.
Yep.
The issue was commenting on how long he should be suspended for, whether he's guilty or innocent.
Mm-hmm.
That was the problem they had. And they probably behind the scenes, they reached out to some people to try and get those players to tone down their commentary on it. And they sort of did, but then obviously Luttrell and the man got involved in a bit of argy-bargy as well. So it sort of bubbled along.
Oh, the right, man, but,
yeah, then the NRL's not going to sanction blokes for...
Yeah. It's as emotional a subject as it gets, really. So you can't really tell people who have been affected by it in the past as well how to think. It's too hard.
And we applaud Luttrell when he comes out and talks about this stuff all the time. And I think we all think he's one of the great Indigenous leaders in our game. So I can understand him getting emotional about it and commenting on it.
Reedy, mailbox time. Here we go. We don't have the opener this year. We're just going to straight into it. Yeah, ditched. Oh, new studio.
Oh, okay.
New studio.
Just sing it.
Read about it. Okay, look, we saw the Cowboys yesterday. Outstanding, the Cowboys. And their two edge back rowers were among their best, Jeremiah Nanai and Helam Lukey. They've got a young fellow named Kulikefu
Finifiaki,
who came on, played the last 20, I think.
Yep.
And they're locked in a battle to keep him. There's some murmurs going around. The Cowboys believe that the Dolphins are about to launch a big play for Kulikefu because they're in for Helam Lukey. Now, Helam Lukey hasn't officially come out and said, I'm staying at the Cowboys, but Gus sort of intimated last week a deal was about to get done. My understanding is it's not just taking up the option. He had an option for one more year. He's about to sign a long-term deal to stay at the Cowboys. So that would mean Kulikefu is stuck behind Nanai and Helam Lukey for the foreseeable future. He's off contract at the end of this year, and the expectations the Dolphins will now switch their attention to Kulikefu. This has ramifications for other clubs as well because if he does leave the Cowboys at the end of this year and go to the Dolphins, the Mailers, the Cowboys will look for some depth in the back row, and they'll look at Jack Howarth, who's in Melbourne, young fella. I think he's played one game, Jack. He's signed long-term there. There were high hopes for him. He hasn't really kicked on. He was a rugby union kid, really good rugby union kid, but the word is the Cowboys are looking at him as a potential backup. And then that in turn would mean that the Storm would free up a lot of money. And the whisper is they're going to have a red hot go at Stefano Uitoikamanu.
Stormer.
Yes.
Wow.
Who is has that clause in his contract top that eight. Allows him, if they miss the top eight, he becomes a free agent at the end of the year. My understanding is he's, or people on behalf of him have asked the club whether they would let him look now.
Yeah.
The club said no.
Stefano now.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, just so they could knock it
talk
off,
about
right?
A domino effect.
Jesus Christ.
This is more twists and turns than episode
of 24.
The Tigers
have said no. I also was told that they went to the NRL for some clarity about whether he would be able to do that. Again, I haven't confirmed this. My understanding is if that was the case, the NRL said he couldn't. So Stefano has to wait until the Tigers are mathematically out of top eight contention before he can explore that option. Tigers are working really hard to get a deal done to lock him away before then. But the whisper is Melbourne are hovering. They've got an interest. They would be really interested in having a chat to him if it got to that point.
Really, just on the Cowboys, it was noticeable yesterday, Jason Taumalolo has moved from that. The captaincy has been taken away.
Yeah.
He only plays 20 minutes yesterday. Great. Off the bench, McIntyre, Griffin Neame, they're strong in the middle forwards. Jason Taumalolo, that lock / prop, to keep Fene Fioaki, could the Cowboys look at maybe potentially moving Jason on? It was, the start of the season, there was talks of it. I know there's a couple of clubs that would be
Well, the Dogs are an obvious one, Jim.
Yeah.
Like, if you're the Dogs, he solves or help solve that middle problem. Todd Payton was really strong on this in the preseason. He said Jason's going nowhere. They want to keep him. But
he can't keep them all, right?
I can only assume he had an injury yesterday. I didn't chase it up.
Yeah,
but the fact they only played 20 minutes is astonishing when, he's on about $950 a year. He was your captain. I think he's got 4 years, including this year, left in that contract.
I thought that was a weird one. Yeah, he had to have got injured yesterday.
You've got to assume he was injured. Yeah. They did have some strong forwards come off the bench. Yeah. And like you say, you can't keep them all. Yeah.
But again, Jim, if he keeps only playing 20 minutes, you can bet your bottom dollar that talk's going to start again.
Yeah.
And there's no way you can, Toddy can talk about We want to keep him, and he doesn't. And I don't think he wants to go anywhere. I think he loves living up there, and he's really comfortable up there.
You can't pay $9.50 for 20 minutes.
No,
and also, like, personally, he's still gone.
Yeah,
like, he's a freak. He's too good to be only playing 20 minutes. Yes,
I think that's one we just
got
to keep our eye on. Yep. Really, you know.
Anything else? Terrell
Sloan was obviously outstanding for the Dragons, and he's been Flano's pet preseason project. And if you go on one performance, and it's only one performance, Flano's had an amazing impact on him. Again, he's off contract at the end of this year, Tyrell Sloan. They put talks on with him on hold. It's my understanding they now kick those talks off. They're keen to keep him. I'm pretty sure he wants to stay, Tyrell. So I'd expect they'll get a deal done. But they're going to ramp up those talks now with Tyrell. So
he is one of my favourite players from another club, apart from like Manly and Woodsy and co.
How good was he?
So good to watch.
And the issue's been, I don't think there's ever been an issue over Tyrell's ability with the ball.
I think it's been the error, and there's been
question marks over his toughness, right?
Yep.
And I think that's what Flano's really worked hard on him in the preseason with, and it looks as though it's had the desired effect. I mean, he was outstanding.
Absolutely.
That's
emptied your mailbox over.
Great job, Reed, man.
Good stuff. Yeah. Solid start. Great start.
Good research for something.
And I even got Kolikefu Finu Fuaki right.
I think Jimmy helped you on that.
Got there in the end.
Finu Fuaki.
He can play.
He's a weapon. Yeah. He's
out of a cannon.
You could potentially see him taking over that lock spot and put Ruben Koster at prop.
And Jason. Yeah.
And then...
I think the issue there as well with the Cowboys is cap room, because
well, like I say, you can't keep them all.
Yeah,
like you can't keep Lukey, you can't keep Nanai.
Yeah,
like it's
they've got to upgrade Cotter. He's got 1 year left, and he's on Ruben Cotter's on ridiculous money for the player he is. I think it's only just over 400.
Yeah,
so he's going to need to basically have his pay doubled. So they've got some issues.
It's a good first episode. We're happy with round one. Sorry. Your coach is not happy with round one.
Sorry, Wayne. Yeah. I love you, mate. Yeah. I never questioned you.
Yeah, good luck with your next question to him at a press conference. Woodsy, have a good week.
You too, mate. See you out there.
Yep. Hopefully you got more than just your budgie smugglers.
Oh, hopefully, this week. It'll be nice.
I'm Australian beef, Reedy. See you around, mate. And Jimmy, have a good week.
Pleasure.
Thanks, everyone. That was a Monday Scrum.
Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.